This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 8th, 2016. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning, everyone. The open meeting for Thursday, December 8th, 2016, for the Federal Election Commission will now come to order. Before we turn to agenda items, we have a motion on late submitted documents. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I move for the last time to suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order to consider the late submission of the following documents: Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-21, Great America PAC, Agenda Document Number 16-58-B, Draft B, to Reg 2016-04, Technical Amendments and Corrections-Agenda Document 16-71-A.
Is there any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? No. Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. We'll turn then to the first item on our agenda, which is Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-21, Great America PAC, which was submitted by Michael Morley and Dan Backer. And Mr. Backer, if you'd like to join us at the witness table if we have any questions for you. We have a presentation from Joanna Waldstreicher and Bob Knopp from the Office of General Counsel. And good morning to the both of you. And when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda documents 16-58-A and 16-58-B are alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Great America PAC. The requester is a non-connected hybrid political committee. It plans to hire individuals and vendors to contact potential voters through phone banks to expressly advocate the election of presidential candidate Donald Trump, or did plan to do so, and intends to engage in similar activities in future elections. It anticipates that some of these individuals will have performed similar work for a candidate or state or national party committee within the previous 120 days. The requester asks several questions about its proposed employment of persons who have previously been employed by a candidate or political party, and whether certain communications made by those employees or by the requester would constitute coordinated communications. Both drafts conclude that the proposed communications would be coordinated communications if the employees in question used information from their prior employment in their work for the committee or conveyed such information to the committee, and the information was material to the creation, production, or distribution of the communications. We did not receive any comments on the request or on either of the drafts. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that presentation. We'll open it up now to any questions that commissioners may have of counsel, any discussion, or if there is any question of Mr. Backer, who is the requester's counsel.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Mr. Backer.
Yes, Commissioner Ravel.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Backer. Welcome. Although counsel indicated that this was the case, I would like to hear your confirmation that the requester plans to undertake materially similar activities with regard to future elections, and because given that what you've spoken about is the Trump election, and as we all know, that one is no longer a viable issue.
Yes, we do.
Do you have any specific plans for it, or it's just a general?
Well, we have thought to do so with respect to the Louisiana runoff, but because we didn't have an advisory opinion, we chose not to, and then we're considering doing similar activities, materially similar activities, with the upcoming spate of special elections that we anticipate in the first quarter of this year. Though in those circumstances, there wouldn't be Trump campaign employees. They would be former employees of the relevant state parties and candidates in those states.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Do we have any further questions? I would just ask, Mr. Backer, you've had a chance to look at the draft. Just wonder, give you your chance to weigh in and share your thoughts on the drafts as you see them before we go to any motions.
Well, the drafts provide, I think, guidance for my client in order for them to conduct their activities. We did have one concern or question that we're trying to wrestle with here, and it goes to the intellectual capital involved in training. So if you're working for the Trump campaign and you've come in and you're sitting at a computer, you're going to get a training program, how to work the software, how to do this phone banking activity, how to speak to people, etc. This is just an integral part of having people come in and do this work. And if we are hiring, if the PAC is in hiring these individuals, relatively, we feel fairly confident we can police, hey, use our scripts, not whatever other scripts you may have had. But we can't tell them, don't use this training benefit that you have previously received. It's part of their sort of experience and knowledge. And the only concern that I have is whether or not that intellectual capital of the training that they have received falls within the scope of information used by the employee in providing services to the candidate or party in the first case, and then in the second case when they're, if they're working for us. And we would like to have adequate clarity that that kind of training information, the knowledge they've gained from it, does not fall within the scope of this activity, and so it wouldn't constitute a coordinated communication.
Okay. I mean, there is language in a couple of different occasions. I'm actually looking at a red line copy that I have, so I believe this would be on page. Let me just quickly turn to it. So I'm on page 10 of the blue draft, starting on lines 2, and I think there's similar language also on page 13. Talks about if a phone bank employee disobeys the committee and uses information acquired through a previous position with the Trump campaign merely in the course of his or her conversations with a potential voter, that information is highly unlikely to be material to the phone bank's creation, production, or distribution, and therefore equally unlikely to satisfy the former employee conduct standard. And I believe on page 13 there's similar language where the commission says, the commission reiterates, however, that a single phone bank employee's use of information without the committee's knowledge seems unlikely to be material to the creation, production, or distribution of the communication. If that information is not material, the phone bank would not constitute a coordinated communication. Just the language of the – I think that that would appear to somewhat address the concern that you're identifying,
We would tend to agree, but I think the practical reality is that if we go forth with this course of conduct, we're almost certainly going to draw a complaint from the another party, a disgruntled party, or an opposition candidate, and we want to be able to have something that's a little clearer for us to rely on when those inevitable complaints arise. If that were possible, that'd be great. But we tend to agree with you that it should fall into that bucket.
Okay. Are there any thoughts or discussion on this matter? Commissioner Goodman?
I guess I asked whether there'd be any interest in that could possibly even be addressed through a footnote to satisfy the requester, but it might take a little bit more time to wordsmith it. Since we don't have an election that is imminent, would you rather that the commission take more time to address that issue specifically, perhaps in a footnote?
That would be great. Thank you.
You'd rather take more time than get this draft today?
Yes.
Sure.
I don't know what the will of the commission is with that regard, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Weintraub?
Well, my only concern about that is, and you'll help me out here, Mr. Backer, I know, because I'm sure you're more familiar with your request than I am. Was that specifically asked for? Did you specifically ask us to address that issue?
No, we didn't ask for that in the initial request, and as we've been reading through the draft over the last couple of weeks, and by the way, thank you to the Commission for extending the courtesy of the repeated extensions we asked for. It's something that we've been just trying to wrap our heads around in this, and we're trying to get to a position of real clarity on this concern, because again, we're looking at it from the perspective of the inevitable complaints that are filed against political committees, and so we want to have clear guidance that we can rely on so we know that the course of conduct that we're very likely to engage in is permissible.
I hear you, I'm thinking more procedurally. I'm not wild about the process of having requesters come in after, you know, we go through the work of putting together a response to your written request, and of course it needs to be a written request, and then at the table a requester says, oh, you know what, I thought of something else that I'd like you to address. At a minimum, I think we ought to get something in writing from you asking if you can revise your request to address this issue as well.
We would be more than happy to do so and would have no objection to it.
Okay. Commissioner Goodman?
I agree. I think we regularly take supplements, either factual supplements, predicate supplements, and sometimes even questions are modified through email exchange with the Office of General Counsel. I think that's probably the best way to proceed, so that there's a clear record for the public as well.
Yeah, and as part of that expansion of your request, and to the extent that you can not just necessarily ask for a blank check, but articulate specific hypothetical facts that would be likely to arise so that we can have something firm to grasp hold of as we answer that additional issue, that would be helpful as well.
Absolutely.
And Mr. Noti, is there anything that we should, from the kind of a procedural perspective, we should be considering as we address this?
Two thoughts. One, it would be helpful if rather than, or in addition to hypothetical facts, we had planned.
I probably used the wrong proposed facts would probably be the better term. So thanks for that clarification.
And procedurally, just in terms of timing, the deadline, the current deadline for this AO is next week. So we'll need to extend that, which Mr. Becker could do orally here today if he'd like.
Okay.
We would be happy to extend. Thank you.
Okay. Do we need to have just for procedural perspective, do we need to have a date certain of extension?
Yeah, I haven't seen the meeting schedule for January, but I would suggest a day or two after whatever the January meeting is going to be.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if we have the meeting schedule hammered out precisely. I don't know if there's a certain amount of time that you'd feel comfortable, you know, to be safe, you could say January 31st, but if you wanted to tailor that, we could.
I think that would be fine since we don't anticipate special elections occurring until there's vacancies, which probably won't occur until after the 21st.
Okay. So then we have an extension then to January 31st, and hopefully we can resolve it well in advance of that, and we'll look forward to your further written submission. And once we get that, then hopefully we can resolve that quickly next year. So
thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll turn next to item number 2 on our agenda, which is Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-22, which involves Libertarian State Committees. We have, looks like, Tony Buckley from the Office of General Counsel to give us a presentation this morning. And we have Requesters Counsel, which I believe is Christine, and I'm going to guess on the pronunciation of this name, Sarah.
Ms. Sarah, are you with us?
Yes, this is Christina Saroy.
Okay. I apologize that I pronounced that improperly. So welcome to you. And if we have any questions of you after the presentation of Mr. Buckley, we will give those to you over the phone.
Thank you.
Mr. Buckley, good morning to you, and please begin.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 16-67B is a draft response to advisory opinion requests submitted by Libertarian State Committees from Georgia and Tennessee. Agenda document 16-67A is a draft response to advisory opinion requests submitted by Libertarian State Committees from Georgia, Tennessee, and four other states, but the committees from those four other states have withdrew their request after this draft was made public. Therefore, the only draft appropriate for the Commission's consideration is agenda document 16-67B. The requesters ask whether under the Act and Commission regulations these committees qualify as state party committees of the Libertarian National Party. The draft concludes that each requester does qualify as a state party committee of the National Party because in addition to placing federal candidates on a ballot and being recognized as an affiliate by the National Committee, each of the state committees provided by bylaws or other governing documents showing that it is responsible for activities commensurate with the day-to-day functions and operations of a political party at the state level. The Commission did not receive any comments on the request or on the drafts. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Buckley. Do we have any questions from the commissioners? And if not, Ms. Saroy, did you have an opportunity to look at the draft and have any comments on the draft?
Yes, I did, and we have nothing further to add.
Okay. Then if there's nothing further, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve agenda document 16-67B, draft B.
Is there any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Thank you for joining us this morning, Ms. Saroy.
Thank you.
We'll turn now to item 3 on our agenda, which is Draft Advisory Opinion 2016-24. We have Nevin Stepanovic from the Office of General Counsel to give us a presentation on this matter. And good morning to you, and when you're ready, please proceed.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda Document 16-68-A presents a draft advisory opinion in response to a request by the Independence Party of Minnesota seeking recognition as a state party committee. The Independence Party of Minnesota has been recognized under Minnesota law as a political party since 1995. It has nominated a number of candidates running under its name on Minnesota ballots, including former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura and, in the 2016 general election for president, Evan McMillan. The draft concludes that the Independence Party of Minnesota qualifies as a state party committee. The commission received no comments on the request or the draft. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Do we have any questions of counsel or any discussion on this draft? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move approval to agenda document number 16-68A, draft A.
Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Stepanovic. Turn next to item 4 on our agenda, which is draft final rules and explanation and justification for Reg 2016-04, technical amendments to 2016 CFR. We have Gene Lynch and Bob Knopp from the Office of General Counsel to give a presentation on this matter. And good morning. And when you're ready, please begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you, is agenda document number 16-71-A for Reg 2016-04, technical amendments to the 2016 CFR. This document contains a number of technical, non-substantive corrections to Chapter 11 of the Code of Federal Regulations. These corrections will appear in the 2017 printing of the paper CFR and within a few days of publication in the eCFR. I'm available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation. Are there any questions of counsel or any discussion? Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question about the Oxford comma.
I'm a big believer in it, by the way.
So am I. I note that we are amending 100.155 to add the comma after creating. Let's see, where is that? But the phrase is creating, maintaining, or hosting a website. So my question is, since I'm a great believer in the Oxford comma, whether we should not at the same time add a comma after maintaining.
If I may, we should. The reason we are not proposing that here is because there's a parallel provision at 100.94, and the parallel provision does not have the Oxford comma. So the choice was, we thought, either to propose changing both. Or
I think we should change both.
You'll have no objection from OGC on that.
Unless it's I know different publications have their own style book. Does the Federal Register have an opposition to the Oxford comma?
No, and the Commission's regulations are not consistent throughout in their use of the Oxford comma.
Well, I would move that we amend this document to include the addition of that Oxford comma after maintaining in both of those places.
And I would heartily support that. For those who say that the Commission cannot agree on things, here is a matter of weighty substance that I will enthusiastically support. One further issue that I'd like to identify, and this is with respect to Section 300.13. The proposal is to remove paragraph C, which deals with the transitional reporting rules for the non-federal accounts that parties once had pre- McCain-Feingold. It would appear that the same rationale for deleting that paragraph would also extend to paragraph B, which is the termination report for the non-federal accounts. And so while we're in the process of cleaning up the regs, I would propose that we also remove paragraph B of section 300.13.
Okay, that would be fine with OGC.
Is there any further discussion on this document? If none, do we have a motion?
I'll just make a motion consistent with our conversation.
I think that should be sufficient.
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve the draft final rules. Excuse me. I move to approve Reg 2016-04, technical amendments and corrections, agenda document number 16-71A, as amended based upon the discussion we've just had.
Is there any discussion on that motion? If none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. Thank you, Mr. Lynch. Mr. Knopp.
Thank you.
I'll now turn to Mr. Alec Palmer, who is both our staff director and our chief information officer, who is going to give us an update on some of the latest IT initiatives here at the Commission.
Thank you, Chairman Peterson. Good morning, Commissioners. At the request of Chairman Peterson, I'll be providing an update today on three initiatives. Over the past couple of years, we've been working to improve and modernize our IT systems and website in ways that will help reach out and serve the public better, not only now but in the future. During 2016, we reached a number of important milestones. The website effort is the first one I would like to address. The FEC has long sought to improve information services that it provides to the public. In 2009, then-Chairman Walther held a hearing to seek public comment on the Commission's website and Internet Improvement Initiatives, and we see our current efforts as a continuation of that process. In 2013, Commissioners Goodman and Ravel joined the FEC with a shared goal to complete and modernize the FEC's website the following year. And the following year, we partnered with 18F to begin that process of redesigning the FEC's data delivery services. In fact, all commissioners deserve thanks for their collective support in this effort. And I'd like to thank Chairman Peterson for this year in pushing us forward on the e-filing modernization, which I will talk about momentarily. Late last year, we launched the beta version of the FEC website. Since then, we've completed work to move our entire campaign finance database, which includes about 40 years' worth of transactional level campaign finance data, to a cloud environment. Because of the improved performance offered by cloud hosting, we're now able to provide the public users with the ability to search, sort, and download transaction-level data directly from our website, which has never been capable before. Our transition to cloud hosting will also position us to meet the future needs of the volume of data in our campaign finance database. The FEC's primary database has dramatically increased this year. In fact, during this past calendar year, it's almost double the capacity of the previous year. Moving to the cloud also improves the security of our data and will save a significant amount in operational and maintenance expenses, which will put us in line with the GAO initiative that came out this year. With this initiative, the Commission has positioned the FEC to stay ahead of the curve in meeting government-wide IT requirements, such as reducing investments in legacy systems, develop open-source software, meet accessibility requirements, and provide robust public access to information while ensuring information security and integrity. Our new website, supported by our publicly accessible API, provides intuitive search interfaces for campaign finance data, as well as the ability to perform searches across legal resources such as statutes, regulations, and advisory opinions, and more search capabilities are coming. We're building the site using user-centered design principles, plain language, and open-source software, all of which have given us ample opportunities to share our work with the public and learn their needs as we build it. We have aggressive plans to continue to capitalize on these successes. And at the end of March 2017, we plan to take our new beta website and have it become the new FEC.gov website. We plan to continue to add content and features to this site well beyond March, adopting the new user-centered design models and processes we've used to create the site thus far. For example, the homepage design, you will have an opportunity to see that by the end of the year. It will be the first public iteration to be viewed. Based on comments and feedback we receive from the public and from the Commission, we'll continue to make improvements and enhancements. E-filing is the next topic I would like to address. We're also finishing up a study to identify ways to improve our e-filing system, using many of the same design principles and practices employed in the website redesign. With this study, we're looking for ways to build upon the work we've completed thus far, and in order to ensure a seamless integration. The FEC e-filing system has continuously been updated since its debut in 1996. It needs more than a facelift. We need to take advantage of these new technologies and design concepts. And in 2016, the Commission, under the leadership of Chairman Peterson, undertook an e-filing study to identify areas that could be upgraded and to make specific recommendations for major improvements. Interviews and interactive sessions with a broad spectrum of e-filers and data consumers pointed to a few major areas. First, the study will suggest upgrades and filing tools that focus on improving both the filer experience and the quality and accuracy of reported data. Second, we will consider technical upgrades that take advantage of newer technologies such as cloud-based computing and storage for rapid scalability and centralized security. Third, we recommend improvements in the electronic filing formats with the goal of producing machine-readable data and streamlining the reporting process. We will redesign the entire internal technical architecture workflow of how filings are processed and improve system reliability and speed. In addition, we will reduce the annual operating expenses related to the legacy infrastructure by providing a new platform-independent design. With all of this, our goal is to make e-filing a much streamlined and smoother process for the filers. The study is scheduled to conclude at the end of this month, at which time we will immediately begin plans that will hopefully facilitate a roadmap for implementation in late 2017 or early 2018. The third topic I would like to discuss is correspondence tracking. This is an effort that Commissioner Goodman has encouraged us to follow up on. In addition to our efforts to modernize and improve our website and e-filing systems, we're implementing a new system to improve customer service by providing better tracking and responding to public inquiries. The new website will provide an interface to this tool that will offer another way to receive reporting advice and guidance. Committees will be able to ask the Reports Analysis Division questions that are automatically routed to the assigned and proper campaign finance analyst. This system will enable RAD to answer common questions more efficiently and consistently. Responses to questions will be tracked for quality and timeliness. This is the first phase of the project. It will be integrated into other FEC offices, and shared information will provide comprehensive customer service across all public-facing divisions. We expect implementation by the end of January for the Reports Analysis Division, and other public-facing divisions will follow. Thank you very much for your time and allowing me to provide these updates, and we look forward to making continued significant progress in 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer, for that comprehensive update on some of the latest initiatives that we have. Are there any comments commissioners would like to make about the presentation or any questions that anyone has? Yes, Commissioner Goodman.
I would just like to extend, I think on behalf of the entire commission, our appreciation, Mr. Palmer, for you and your staff, as well as all the other groups that have been working with you diligently on these projects, and I think they greatly enhance the agency, and they enhance the agency's usefulness to the people who rely on the agency and are regulated by it. And I just want to extend our appreciation and our congratulations to you on some projects well done. Thank you.
If I may, I would just like to...
Yes, Mr. Palmer.
This would not be possible if it were not for the staff. Their dedication, their effort, not only in the IT department but across all the divisions, it has been an enormous dedication and effort, and I personally want to thank them as well, because without them, this would not have been a success.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add to the accolades that Commissioner Goodman expressed. The work that's been done on Beta FEC by our staff, by Ray, by you, by the associates and groups, 18Fs, that we're working with, has been astronomical. It's been such a change, and I myself have talked to lots of groups that are now using our website that never before have done so and find it to be very useful, very convenient, easy to access information. And so not only for those who we regulate, but for the American public, this is an incredible step forward, and you should really be congratulated, you and your entire team. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chairman.
I just like to add to the those that are commenting. I really think it's a great step forward for us, and it's been something that's been perking along over the years, and finally it came to pass, and it's going to be a really fine thing. I want to mention one thing that's always been big to me, is we're going to be able to get all this data on our handheld. And that's pretty neat, I think. And I think we'll find that there's an awful lot of the election law community is going to spend most of their time searching and reading and that kind of thing. So we're really getting into the very latest. I think it's terrific.
Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to extend my compliments to the staff, to Wei and to Paul and to all of the folks in the throughout the agency who've worked on this. But I just want to comment that, you know, change is hard, and sometimes people might think that, you know, the staff might say, oh, you know, we don't want to change things, we know how it works now. But in fact, what I have found throughout the time that I've been here is that this kind of a project is exactly the sort of thing that our staff gets excited about and is thrilled to be working on. We give them a little bit of direction, and they just run with it and do terrific work. So my compliments also to everyone involved.
I would certainly echo what everyone has said about Mr. Palmer and his fine staff, and then tremendous the work they do, and how much we appreciate that. And I'll also, while we're extending the congratulations, I know that when Commissioner Goodman was chair and Commissioner Ravel was vice chair, I know that they jointly put a great deal of effort and energy into helping propel this project along. And so I know that everyone up here on the dais has been supportive of this project, and I know that they especially took a special interest in this one, and I commend you for your efforts to help move this process forward. And it looks like it's already bearing fruit, and now that we can see the transition in sight in just a few months, I think it's something that the Commission and especially those who made it come to fruition can take justifiable pride in. So thank you. Well, then the next item on the agenda were the 2017 meeting dates. We're still working out a few kinks in that, and since we're still relatively early in the month, I think we'll have some time to hammer that out and then pass that on tally. Commissioner Weintraub?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to say something about whenever we decide what our meeting dates are going to be, about something I'd like to see on the agenda in January, and I will ask the incoming chairman to put it on the agenda in January. As my colleagues know, I've been throughout the year trying to start a rulemaking on foreign influence in politics using campaign finance as a vehicle. This is an issue that I well, first raised after Citizens United in 2010, but this year in particular, I've made it a renewed focus, and that was before we learned from our national security authorities that there had been attempts by foreign governments to hack into our data systems, not here at the FEC, but in other election organizations and political organizations in this country, which, that didn't prompt what I'm trying to do, but it confirmed for me that it's really important that we address these issues. I last raised this on September 29th. I tried to narrow my proposal. I raised it for the first time earlier in the year, and my colleagues said it was too vague and open-ended, so I tried to narrow it. I eliminated PACs from the proposal. I made it clear I wasn't talking about media organizations, trying to narrow it down to areas where we could actually agree, and my colleagues have repeatedly said they want more time to think about this. So I just want to put everybody on notice that I'm going to ask for this to go on the agenda in January, because I really think there's been a lot of time. I've been very patient. I think it's fine for people to take the time they need to try and decide if they think we need more fact-finding or what other questions they want to address. But this has been on the table for months, and I really want to either have an up-and-down vote or actually, you know, push forward on that.
Any other discussion on the meeting dates? If none, like we said, stay tuned, and those should be available on tally and available to the public very soon. We now turn to item 7, the election of officers. It's come to that time of the year and at this point of the agenda when the baton is passed from one administration to another. I imagine our transition process will be a little bit easier than others that are taking place in this town. The first item with respect to election of officers is, do we have a nomination for chairman for the year 2017?
Yes.
Commissioner Goodman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This nomination must evoke a sense of deja vu all over again for many, including the incoming chairman, because Commissioner Walters, this will be his second term as chair of the agency. They often say second time is a charm. Hopefully it will be, Commissioner Walter. 2017 promises to be a transitional year for the commission. We'll be moving into a new building, launching a new website and face of the agency to the public. We'll be building a new IT architecture for all agency functions behind that website. There are positions still to fill, to bring in some new leaders into the agency, and there are still employment matters and personnel issues to be addressed within our agency. So there are many institutional challenges facing the agency in addition to the substantive matters that we address. And I'd have to say that more than any other commissioner here, in my 3 years here, Commissioner Walther has proved to be an institutionalist at heart, and he demonstrates probably more than any other commissioner a sincere concern for the agency and the people who work here. In his 10 years, it's certainly in my 3 years here, I have seen Commissioner Walther delve deeply into our budgetary issues. He's keenly interested and has proposals for personnel employee morale issues. He has been deeply involved in IT infrastructure issues at a far more granular level than any other commissioner has engaged themselves. And as chair in 2009, as Mr. Palmer just mentioned, he led website improvements. And so he will, as chairman in 2017, be able to see cut the ribbon on yet the continuation and culmination of that project, which has been many years in development. So in many ways, this agency is getting the right chair at the right time to address many transitional issues. Also, you know, the commission works best when the chair of the agency is steady, even-handed, and fair. I know that we've seen that this year, Chairman Peterson, and we appreciate it. And I know that Commissioner Walther personifies steady, even-handed, and fair. We have big issues to debate, and it always helps when the chairman can sail us through with a steady hand at the helm. In addition, Commissioner Walther maintains a strong personal rapport with all five commissioners. Just sitting in his office many afternoons, I've learned a lot about mountain oysters. I heard a good story today about Ronald Reagan eating mountain oysters and Nancy Reagan's reaction to that. And then the Reno Rodeo, he's invited me to visit the Reno Rodeo, which apparently is quite a spectacle. And I hear a lot about Notre Dame football. Commissioner Walther is a fine man. He has a fine family. He's very proud of his family. We've all met his son, Wyatt. And it is my honor to nominate for chairman of the FEC in 2017, Commissioner Stephen Walther.
Do we have any discussion on that nomination? Let me just add that I've had the privilege of working with Steve, well, vice chairman. I don't want to turn this too informal yet. On two different occasions. When he was the chairman back in 2009, I was his vice chairman, and now this year he was my vice chairman. And it's always been a pleasure to work with Steve, just on an interpersonal basis. We like to reminisce about our upbringings back west in the mountains amongst the livestock. I mean, I didn't have to wait until talking with Steve to know what Rocky Mountain oysters were as the grandson of a sheep man. I know all too well what that entails. One constant throughout my experience in working with Steve, you know, whether regardless of what the issue is, whether or not we might have ultimate agreement on how to resolve particular matters, is it. We've always had a very collegial and congenial relationship and friendship, and that has been, you know, sometimes when some of the stresses amp up in the building and the and things might get a little bit frantic, I always have never had to worry about having any problems or issues exacerbated by the vice chairman. He's been a great friend, one who's been a pleasure to work with throughout my time on the commission, and especially when we've been able to work together in a leadership capacity. I know of his integrity. I know of his intellect, his tremendous background in terms of his legal understanding and also his management experience, which I think leads to the concerns that the Commissioner Goodman identified about him being an institutionalist. So I am very pleased to support his nomination to be chairman next year, and look forward to continuing to work with you and helping support you and making your chairmanship a success in any way I can. And so at the appropriate time when we call the votes, I'll be enthusiastically supportive of that vote. Are there any other comments? If none, we'll call the votes on the nomination of the vice chairman to be the chairman for the year of 2017. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 6-0. So.
Oh, I kept my mouth shut. But
congratulations.
I do support it.
Well, I always forget. Do we count the chairman's vote?
I think the nominee traditionally abstains.
Okay, so why don't we let me change that vote? It was unanimous, but the man from Reno, who is ever humble and would not seek to prop himself up, the vote is 5-0 with the vice chairman abstaining. Do we have a nomination for vice chairman for 2017? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, thanks. It's my pleasure to make that nomination. I'm going to thank you. I'm very humbled by your comments, and thank you so much for that. Maybe I'll make a comment after we get through with the nomination and the election. But no, it's my privilege to nominate Carol Hunter for the vice chair position. We've worked together for a long time. I'm bracing myself, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a challenge. It's but a very, very nice relationship, and one where most of the time we find ourselves moving the ball forward in a positive way. And I recall when I first, I think, referred to you in the open session on a nomination, I made a comment that in many ways she reminds me of this TV character called Columbo. And I assumed that everybody in the room knew who Columbo was. But then I realized it was kind of a dated situation, and I learned that later, and that not everybody knew that. And Columbo was, for those of you that still haven't learned, was a humorous character who was a detective and always walked around in a rumpled overcoat and kind of slouched and had a little well-worn notepad. And he would ask questions and never was one who was being asked questions really knew exactly where they were, the questions were coming from. But usually toward the end of the conversation, he might be walking out the door and he'd say, oh, just a minute. And then he'd ask a bombshell question, and the person who was left really concerned about the fact that that person might well be identified as the victim or as the perpetrator. So, anyway, I didn't mean it in that regard, except that Columbo was so well able to ask questions and just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it until pretty soon, you got your question answered. And so I've been subject to this here, and even yesterday. And so I enjoy it. And so I'm encouraging you to continue with it. But it is a trait that I admire. And you're very earnest, very honest about how you feel. And all that is great. Yesterday, for example, she's proactive. I was looking at some adjectives, and I said, of course, proactive, persistent, prepared, which she always is. But even yesterday, she's had a meeting lined out with a number of us to talk about the future. And I was invited, and it was very helpful to get started on some issues. So I don't think there'll be any problem with identifying issues to move forward on. And I look forward to your input, and always have enjoyed it. One sequel to the thing is, I should tell you, to the last time I mentioned Columbo, was she had to learn from her father who Columbo was. And so her father thought that was pretty interesting, so he went out and bought a full set of tapes of Columbo and gave it to her. So I assume you've been going through them, and you've... Yes, there we go. But I'm very pleased to have her on board, and so I happily nominate you for vice chairman.
Do we have any discussion on the nomination? Commissioner Weintraub.
I have never seen Commissioner Hunter look rumpled. I really don't understand this analogy.
That's true. It's the persistence that counts.
I will happily support this nomination as well. I've known Caroline for many years, from the time that she was at the Republican National Committee, and I was a counsel at the Committee on House Administration. And just to build upon the vice chairman's story about Commissioner Hunter's persistence, back in 2004, A short period of time, I had a new son. My now 12-year-old son was born. I moved into there was a family funeral over the summer. And then in the first weekend of October, I moved. We had a major move from a townhome into a single family home. And we had, boxes strewn up all over the place. And I came back that Monday after a very frantic weekend of shuttling things back and forth, just completely exhausted. And I remember my staff director at the time saying, "There's There's been a request that you take leave from the Committee on House Administration and go to the Republican National Committee for a month because this was in the aftermath of the Help America Vote Act. I'd been involved in the negotiations and the process for enacting that. And so there were kinks that were being worked out in terms of how that was going to be implemented. And I remember telling telling my staff director, Paul Vinovich, that, I'd like to help. I've got, I've got a new kid. I'm in a house. I've got boxes strewn out all over the place. This isn't going to really work out. And then Paul just said, Caroline asked for you to be over there. I really think you ought to go over for this month and take leave. And so that pretty much ended the debate. I lived amongst boxes for the month of October. Had a great experience working alongside Caroline during that month. And but in addition to her persistence, she's a wonderful person to be around. She's got a great sense of humor. Is always just a fun figure, full of vitality, and. But I also know that she'll do an excellent job as vice chair and that her concerns with how the building operates, with the work of the agency, make her very well suited. And, I know that she'll tighten the screws on when it needs to happen, and I think that that's all for the good of the agency. And so I'll be happy to support your nomination when the vote is called. Is there anything further? If none... let's take a vote on the nomination for Caroline Hunter to serve as the vice chair in 2017. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? I should say aye. Madam Secretary, that motion carries by a vote of 5-0 with the now soon the incoming vice chair, Commissioner Hunter, abstaining from that vote. So we now come to the end. Oh, Mr. Vice Chairman.
It's just a moment of privilege. I'd like to address the issue of my experience with Matt. And at the beginning of the year last year, I received a call from somebody I think might be in the room who asked me to, what did I think about the incoming year and Mr. Peterson. And I said, and it ended up being quoted, that I considered him to be a gentleman's gentleman. And that's been just the way it's always been with Matt, and certainly was this year. And it's a trait that few people have because it so comes so natural to him. And he's got a calm demeanor, even though, the pressure's on. It was always a kind, intelligent conversation, and... it was really made a lot of difficult questions and palatable, and we got through a lot of issues. But that leadership trait is pretty rare, and certainly Matt has it. He said that I think at the beginning of the year that he wasn't looking to hit a home run necessarily, but he thought he'd like to hit a number of singles, and. So I do have a list of a couple things that have happened this year that really are important in moving the agency forward. And one is the enforcement backlog. We've been plagued a little bit over the years with a big backlog, and there's been a lot of movement the last couple of years. But this particular year, a big difference was made to the point where our backlog is very close to not a backlog anymore. I would think within the next few sessions, we might have it down to the point where we simply don't have that as an issue at all. And that's the amount of time between the time something reaches the commission for consideration and the time we actually act on it. So that, I think, is due a large part to the fact that we've been able to move through these meetings in a very comfortable way and do it productively. And a lot of these questions that sometimes got hung up got done. We have updated forms, made progress in updating the disclosure forms to make them consistent with one another and to address any confusion filers may experience. That's a big thing, and it's something I think we don't think of so much because we're not the ones that are making the filing, but for the filers, that's where they need to be predominant in our thinking all the time as to how we can improve their lives. We are currently undertaking the project, as was mentioned, to be more efficient and flexible in electronic filing environment. We've introduced the paper automation project, introduced an innovative approach to capture the data received from paper filings to allow the public quicker and more efficient access to campaign finance information. And again, TechMod, on September 29th, Commission unanimously approved a notice of proposed rulemaking on technological modernization, which proposes changes to more than 100 Commission regulations to address contributions and expenditures by electronic means, such as through internet-based payment processors or text messaging, to eliminate and update references to outdated technologies and to address similar issues. These are all steps that are really bringing us constructively forward on how we are getting our work done for the community and the public. So those are all achievements. Okay, maybe they're not home runs, but by the time you put them all together, there's certainly more than four singles. And Matt, thanks for another great year.
Thank you for your friendship and for your support.
And there is one thing too.
Okay.
Here's a little item to commemorate your service and for all of us. And it says, Matthew S. Peterson, Chairman, 2016, Federal Election Commission, can be used at will.
And for many purposes.
For many purposes. And I hereby hand you this and with gratitude.
I thank you very much for that. Thank you very much. I really genuinely appreciate that. Thank you for that gesture, and like I said, for the ability that we've had to work in a very productive way this year, and like I said, I look forward to continuing to work with you to help your chairmanship year next year be as productive and successful as possible. And, you know, some of the things that that you mentioned that have been mentioned so far about the enforcement docket and updating the forms, the electronic filing initiative that's moving forward, that I think is going to make a really big difference, making it easier for entities to file and for end users and for the public to get more readily accessible and easier to understand data. I'm also looking forward to next year. We'll have that hearing on internet communication disclaimers. Obviously, along with technological modernization, we have so many advancements which are revolutionizing the ways in which political information is being disseminated and being consumed, and I think it's wonderful that we're continuing to move forward to examine to what extent our regulatory framework needs to be updated and modified to take into account those innovations, so that we can be a facilitator of further innovation rather than being an impediment. And so I look back and look at the year, I realize that there's nothing that we can do without the support of my colleagues. And I know it doesn't fit necessarily neatly into the narrative that's often said about this agency, but I genuinely like and appreciate each one of my colleagues, each person up here on this dais, as well as on the phone, are talented, intelligent people who have taught me a great deal, and I've benefited from my my relationships with them, and I appreciated the interactions that I've had with each and every one of them. I think that even when we disagree, I genuinely appreciate the dedication that each of my colleagues have for the law, for this agency, for their principles. And like I said, I've benefited greatly from my associations with each and every one of you. Let me also thank the staff. We've talked earlier about Mr. Palmer and your staff, and I see many here in up here on the dais, Ms. Stevenson, who's been willing to step into the role of acting general counsel, and it is much appreciated. It's not always it can sometimes be the hottest of hot seats, and you've done an excellent job fitting into that role, Mr. Noti, for all of the work, so much that comes up through the through the policy side, the rulemakings, the AOs, the excellent job that you and your staff do in order to keep us on serve when it comes to addressing matters that that come up through your shop. I see Ms. Guth on the enforcement. Thanks for the help that that you've. I think that there's considering the number of complaints and matters that come up through enforcement. Greatly appreciate all of your efforts. And again, as I look around and see Ms. Chacona, I was handed the number of when I think about what the reports analysis division has had to do. Being a presidential year, I believe that our current stats are the total documents reviewed have been 77,560. The total pages reviewed so far this year are roughly 24.4 million, and along the way fielding over 13,000 phone calls. And your oversight and leadership of that office, obviously without it, there would be chaos in the building without somebody who could handle that volume of responsibility. And so I greatly appreciate the efforts. And Mr. Baker, thank you to you and your shop, you and Kate Higginbotham for fielding the FOIA requests that have been numerous, and for staying on top of that, and also just for always keeping the environment light and never allowing things to get too dire and serious. I greatly appreciate the positive element that you bring to every setting in which you work. I also want to mention our litigation team. Kevin Dealey leads that. They obviously, their work never ends. There are always cases that we are filing offensively or more oftentimes defensively. They do an excellent job in that shop, and their tireless efforts are greatly appreciated. I also want to mention the last few meetings, a familiar figure at the secretary's table is no longer here. Sean Woodheadworth, who had been at the agency for over 30 years, is retiring. She is moving. She and her husband are moving to Campbellsport, Wisconsin. I just looked this morning. The temperature there is 15 degrees, and snow is already on the ground. So she may, and as she pointed out to me, ice fishing is a way of life. So I imagine that maybe she is parked in her shanty over a hole. And as she said, it's not just fishing. One of the real sports there is you don't just. Don't just use a lure. It's sturgeon spearing, and I thought that can't be real. Oh, it's real. Go check it out on YouTube. Lure a sturgeon up, and then it's like a trident that you throw into the hole in the ice. And so, her adventures obviously are only beginning as she makes that transition to Hamblesport. Yes. but certainly the wonderful service that she extended to the commission for in different capacities over many years are very much appreciated. Shelley Garr, who is also going to be retiring from the secretary's office, certainly greatly appreciate everything that you've contributed, and for again a very calm and even tempered demeanor even when chaos was breaking out all around. And also want to thank Dana Brown, who has agreed to step into those shoes, and she is currently our acting secretary and is doing excellent as we make that transition. Again, I feel bad. I'm undoubtedly going to forget some people. I also want to also mention Greg Scott in the information division, especially in a presidential election year. The educational conferences, the webinars, the materials they make available in order to help campaigns, parties, committees, and so forth understand our law and be able to comply with the law. His efforts are, and those in his shop are very much appreciated, and certainly don't go unnoticed. I know that I hear oftentimes about how much those who participate in the conferences and in the educational opportunities that we provide mention that, and I think that should not go without recognition. And a couple more people I just want to mention who have always been, you know, from the time that I've been here, have always, no matter when I see them on the elevator, on the floor, anywhere, have always a smile on their face, always a pleasant hello, a pleasant conversation. Lisa Chapman, who works up here on the ninth floor, I want to thank her for always being a good friend and a source of positivity. And also Donnie Harris, who is who knows even more than me about baseball. And so whenever I run into him, we can always have a good conversation on whatever's going on during the season, or if it's off season, we can talk a little hot stove, what's the latest transaction, and want to thank him for his great work here. And then finally, I think every one of us as commissioners would acknowledge that it would be impossible for us to do our jobs without having personal staff who can keep us on the straight and narrow and who do so much hard work. And I certainly am no exception. I want to thank Theo Lutz and John Barman, who's been with me for almost the entire time that I've been here at the agency, for the excellent work that they've done. And not only are they excellent attorneys, but they're even better people. I thoroughly enjoy my association with both of them. And like I said, I couldn't do what I do without their assistance. And I'd also say the same thing for my past executive assistants, David Adkins, Stuart Crossland, Kevin Plummer. That's one constant, and it's been a real blessing to me to just not only have such smart and capable individuals, but people who are of such solid character and are people that I've thoroughly enjoyed being around. I thank Lindsay Melody for also keeping. She is ensured that from an agenda perspective, that we've always been towing the line and has worked extremely hard to help support my efforts this year. So it's again, I feel a deep gratitude to, again, my colleagues up here on the building, the staff throughout this agency. And like I said, I'm missing out on people, but I hope everyone genuinely knows how much I appreciate the efforts that they put in on a day-to-day basis to ensure that the building is operating smoothly, that audits are being done. Mr. Hintermeister, I see you out there as well. Reports are being reviewed. Enforcement matters are proceeding. Everybody who contributes in this agency, I just want to say how much, and to the extent it's not mentioned enough, how much your efforts are appreciated and how much your talents and abilities and also just the personalities you bring to the agency that I thank you for all that you contribute on a daily basis. One other thing that I want to add is that a tradition that was started a few years ago by Commissioner Goodman, who received this it is a figure that represents an individual bearing the weight of the world, and for those of you who can tell, it's basically an individual sitting down, hands over his face, and in some ways maybe representative of what it's like to be the chair, which comes with a few perks and many burdens. And I believe when Chairman Goodman yielded the gavel to Commissioner Ravel and she became the chair, she then gave it to me and included a little origami hat on it made out of a faux dollar bill that says it's not to be used for bribing politicians. And she said, well, now we need to add a little something to it. I had to there were some curses that were broken this year in the world of sports. Unfortunately, my Dodgers 29-year curse of not making the World Series was not one of them. So this is also a fair representation of what I looked like when the Dodgers got eliminated by the Cubs in the National League Championship Series. So I added a little insignia, and then you're going to be able to add, I don't know, a lasso or some cowboy boots and spurs the next time. But I happily hand that over to the vice chairman. And I would say that one thing to remember whenever whenever it comes that you're feeling that this little the figure represents how you're feeling in terms of the pressures that are on your shoulders, the wise saying that it is always darkest just before it turns absolutely pitch black. So, that is.
I'll probably feel that way tomorrow morning. No, this is a great thing. It will remind me that I can take solace in the fact that others have held it and you're still holding up.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's a wonderful thing.
We haven't completely been beaten down yet, so that'll be now entrusted to your care for the year of 2017.
Thanks. I'll keep my eye on it.
All right. Commissioner Hunter.
Thank you, Chair Peterson. I just wanted to say, you did an amazing job this year. As has been pointed out, there are a lot of things that the chairman deals with behind the scenes that the public doesn't get a chance to see, and one of them is the enforcement docket. And Chairman Peterson came in with a long list of matters on the docket, and he dealt with them very efficiently, professionally, without a lot of drama. I think he communicated very well with the staff on what was going to be on the agenda and what the game plan was. He always managed expectations and did it in a way that made the executive sessions this year much less painful than they have been before. And I certainly appreciate, because that's sort of the bread and butter of what we do here, is the advisory opinions and the enforcement docket. And you manage that along with John, Theo, and Lindsay in a very professional manner that we certainly appreciate, without a lot of drama. And there are important issues that affect what members of the public are doing, and they're very consequential, and we appreciate you doing that with such professionalism and efficiency. The other thing is the management issues that you had to deal with on a daily basis, and we made it through an election year without any major drama, no real problems. Our website wasn't hacked this go around, so good job on that. And a lot of things that could have happened didn't. So thank you for being so even-keeled and efficient throughout your chairmanship this year. I genuinely appreciate having a chance to work with you all these number of years, and have enjoyed our many conversations, both about campaign finance law, but even more so about the variety of topics that come up in our personal lives and in politics. Peterson knows a lot about a lot of things, from baseball to living out west to all kinds of travel that he's done. But more importantly, he's always willing to learn new things, and he listens very well and considers, and has always been an excellent friend and advisor to me, and I really appreciate our friendship and will always value it. Thank you.
Mr. Peterson. Commissioner Goodman.
Yes. Chair Peterson, thank you for your calm and professional leadership this year, and I think everyone can attest to the professionalism that you've instilled in the way you've guided the agency. On the enforcement docket, I just looked at the numbers. We looked at when you started in January of 2016, the commission's docket, that is, matters pending for commission action, the number was 62 matters. And as of today, and we might resolve one or two more perhaps this afternoon, I noted that there were 22 matters pending commission action as of today. Only about 16 of those are the subject of some type of formal hold. About 9 of those are bipartisan reasons, and about 5 of those are individuals wanting to take a little bit more time with something. So that leaves probably 6 matters pending immediate action in January. And I just want to congratulate you on moving through that enforcement docket and moving us through very efficiently and calmly. The substantive debates don't go away, but how we conduct those and how we move through is always important and largely reflective of how the chair moves the agency through. So I just want to thank you for a good and efficient year and a year of professionalism, and as well for your friendship. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. We now can turn to the last time in 2016. Ask Mr. Palmer, are there any management and administrative matters that need to be considered?
Mr. Chairman, there are no such matters.
Hearing none. Actually, I think I'm going to use the new gavel to gavel out here. So, hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Oh, yeah, can you tell me?